KFYO 708, Tom, Laura, and Mayor Glenn Robertson in the house after the city council meeting last night. Now, there are some issues of great concern. And I say that, I mean, I'm being serious about that. You know, the Goedeke Library thing.
Right.
You know, we kind of piddled around and piddled around and piddled around. We didn't, you know, do the do when we, you know, we had the library over there at South Loop and Slide Road. And then we negotiate this deal to go over there at the Lusky's Ryan's building at, what is it, about 50-something in Frankfort.
Correct.
And we think we're saving, and you know, we're forecasting saving all this money, and then now we get this big Dondo surprise. What's the deal with the surprise on the building not being up to code? How do we not know that?
Well, and it's, I think there was some misinformation put out in the meeting last night, which led the media to print some misinformation this morning inadvertently. What happened is staff just underestimated how much work was going to need done to that shell building. I mean, there were not ADA, because that wasn't a public facility with public restrooms. It was a public, you know, it was a private retail store that wasn't required to have public restrooms. So one of the things they had to do is go in and put in handicapped accessible public restrooms. Of course, they had to change the layout of the building for offices and some stuff like that. Staff had told the council previously to expect $150,000 to $200,000 in renovation cost, and it's going to run a little over $500,000, and that upset some council members, as it should. But if you look at the big picture, which we have to do, we were scheduled to save about $1 million over 5 years in lease.
Juxtaposed to the current deal where it was located at South Loop and Slide.
So, and that was going to be, you know, after renovations. So now we're still going to save anywhere from $600,000 to $700,000 over what the previous lease was. It's still going to be a good deal for the citizens. It's still going to be a good deal for Southwest Lubbock. It's one of those things that we don't like it when it happens, but you just got to get over it and do it. You know, I still don't like the fact that we passed up a tremendous deal 2 years
38,
ago.
38-38. We should have bought 38-38.
Well, you know, but hindsight is always 20/20. And
now, see, I was
but
one
it
of the
wasn't outside the loop. That was the problem with that one.
I was one of the few people that was on the bandwagon on this deal. I was like, I was right there with you, man. I was right there with you. We should have bought it.
But, like I say, all of that is history. We're going to have a good library location over on Frankfort. We're going to have an option to purchase that building in 5 years. We'll also have an option to extend the lease after 5 years. So it's, although I don't like the fact that we spent a little over $300,000 more than we were expecting, like I said, we have to look at the big picture. It's one of those deals that, you know, some council members last night felt the need to beat up on staff publicly so that it, you know, makes them look a little better in the public eye. But the bottom line is we all messed up. It was everybody involved's fault. Quit pointing fingers. We just need to go down the road and say we made a mistake.
Who were they beating up?
Well, the guy over facilities took a lot of heat over this. And, you know, it's... that's a tough deal. This is a guy that's way understaffed. A lot of projects thrown at him. This deal was...
Well, duh. The whole... Now, hold on here. In all fairness, you know, a lot of these people and citizens concerned, as well as people, a lot of other people on the council, have said that, you know, a lot of our facilities are in bad shape and na-na-na-na-na. And then so when it's convenient, I guess, what they're doing is they're... you know, kind of standing on the other side of the line throwing rocks.
Well, you know, you can't have it both ways. And the situation is that, you know, this is a deal that we've had to pull projects out of last year's budget year because we didn't have the staff to complete them. We had found funds, but we didn't have the staff in building maintenance. And there's a lot of the stuff that if when we do it internally, we can do it much cheaper than if we go out to the marketplace. So, it's a problem that's not just that one individual missed an estimate. This was a deal. He was pushed fast. Let's get this thing closed. We've waited so long, and that's the fault really comes back to us as a council. We postponed and kicked the can down the road on the Godeke building until all of a sudden, guess what? The landlord said, hey, y'all are going to have to be out. Then it's panic mode. And any time you make decisions when you're in panic mode.
Time's money, money's time. The last time frame cost you more money.
So, you start making mistakes. And
so there's not an outside contractor that's going to be doing the renovation for this building?
There will be. It was bid out. It's just, like I say, the internal estimates were much lower than less than half.
Do we know, can you say, or do you know who the contractor is?
I'm not even sure. I think it's Tynert Construction, but, we look at so many contracts, I could be wrong there.
Yeah, that'd be, Chad Henthorne's over there, and he'll do a real great job on that building.
I don't know Mr. Henthorne, but I know our experience with that company's been good.
Yeah, Alan and, yeah.
We hadn't had any problem with any local contractors. We've got great contractors here in Lubbock.
Yeah.
But in the long run, this will be a good move.
It will be. It's going to take us a little longer to recoup that move-in money. Mm-hmm. But, it's going to take 2 years instead of a year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a good deal for the citizens. And we're still getting a good library in Southwest Lubbock. So, yes, there was a problem. I think it was created by us, the council, by waiting so long to react. But we're going to get over it and go down the road.
There are pods outside Godeke right now, pod storage units.
Yes.
Right, so is Godeke open right now, or are they closed to start moving out?
They are closed.
Okay.
Now. Yeah, we're going to be without a library for about 90 days in Southwest Lubbock.
Now, this is Laura, in layman's terms, this is one of those deals where you go to the grocery store and, you spend $263.25 and they say, you saved $45 today. You know what I'm saying? It's just...
Mm-hmm.
You do it and you did maybe save some money than you would have if you spent it another way, but it's just...
Well, I'm anxious to see it once all the renovations are done.
I think we'll have a good product. I think we got lots of parking over there. The ingress, egress is good. Access to it is phenomenal. So, in the long run, this is going to be a good deal for the citizens of Lubbock. In the short run, we made a mistake and it's going to cost us a little more money.
All right, 7:16, back with Mayor Glenn Robertson in just a couple of minutes. It is 7:22 after city council meeting last night. The mayor of our fair city is in the house. Glenn Robertson, welcome to the program. Thanks for getting up so early.
You bet. Glad to be here.
So, okay, I got to ask you, this was the first rattle out of the box on the rescheduled 5:15 start.
Right.
So was everybody ecstatic about that?
Everybody on the dice was elastic about it, or static or whatever
ecstatic,
you said.
Elastic.
It worked out very well.
Polyester's a good thing.
We had a good crowd there. We did not have a lot on the agenda, so we didn't have a lot of discussion. We also didn't have Mr. Hernandez. He was absent. and that kind of helped shorten the meeting, but, it worked out very well. I mean, we were through with the executive session just in time to grab a quick sandwich, get into regular session. We would have been done probably by 6:30, 6:35, but we had to post the public hearings for the zone cases, and they were posted for 6:30 because we had to send out notices before we made the decision to switch. And we were ready to do zone cases at 10 after 6, and I started just rolling with them, and the lawyers over there going, whoop, 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 whoop. And it never dawned on me. I mean, we've never had that problem before. So next time we'll have the zone cases posted for 5:30, but went very well. Like I said, very short meeting last night, and we got out of there before 7 o'clock.
Okay, speaking of zone cases, where are we at on this Love's travel stop, the truck stop thing? I mean, is it just... still in limbo? It moving forward?
As far as I know, it's moving forward. Love's owns the property. They got the zoning approved. So I'm assuming they'll start construction pretty soon.
Okay. One thing that a lot of people are, I guess, concerned about is the smoking ban and where that's going. I know it costs currently $78 annually for a smoking permit. Now, this coalition was formed to, you know, have this task force, you know, to kind of ride herd on this stuff. Just in a nutshell, a lot of these people are still not happy with the way that, because they still feel that employees in these Correct. Bars are still at risk. Now, Dr. Chikuru is a pulmonologist, was my dad's pulmonologist. Right. He actually spoke at the meeting last night.
Yes.
And, you know, said that he recently had a patient that died of lung cancer that was exposed to secondhand smoke. So, I'm just going to ask you point blank. I mean, do you favor the smoking ban, and do you want to tighten the screws on this thing, or where are we at on this?
Well, I don't think it's truly a black and white issue. I think it's one of these things that we may need to take to the voters. It's a very controversial subject. There is scientific proof that secondhand smoke will kill. But then you've also got the viewpoint that, well, people that go into these bars that allow smoking know that, and they're going in there of their own free will, and does the government need to protect them from themselves, which I've always said it's not our job. And then the counter argument to that is, well, the employees that are forced to work and can't find a job somewhere else are now being subjected to it. So, you know, we took the alcohol referendum to the public, and we did that because we had to by law to change it. This one council could change without a vote, but I'm not so sure. Our biggest job is trying to find out where the public stands. We represent the public, and we need to vote on what the public wants us to do. With this one, you can do a lot of polls. But I think the only way to really find out where the majority of Lubbock stands is to take it to the voters. So that may be the only clear-cut solution.
Yeah. I think if you do take it to the voters, that I think the smoking ban would pass, because I think now more people don't smoke than smoke. But that's my personal opinion. In your estimation, you know, from your personal standpoint, would you favor the ban, or would you not favor the ban?
You know, I'm right on the fence. I have a hard time telling property owners what they can and cannot do with their property. I have a very hard time telling business owners. You can't allow smoking in your private-owned business. I struggle with that. I do understand the flip side, though, that this is a situation that it's a very harmful substance. So,
but you know, we do that all the time with the food industry. You can't just do what you want because you're a private business owner of a food industry. There are still rules, health rules that you have to follow.
And I will tell you, this is an argument that people on both sides are very, very passionate about, but both sides have a valid argument. There are private property rights or liberty issues on one side, and then you've got health and safety on the other. And this is when you get to that type of situation where both sides are right. And that's where we're at right here. And both sides just will never agree that the other side's right. Now, I'm an ex-smoker. I hadn't smoked in 13 or 14 years, but I still worry about people's personal rights.
Yeah, I get that. What about, we're almost out of time, but I'm just kind of wondering, okay, if you have like smoking lounges, if there's a smoking ban, would that affect the smoking lounge?
I think it'd affect everybody with what this coalition
wants. Like a cigar shop or something?
Well, like there are private smoking lounges, you know, where people go to smoke. That's what they do there. They go there to light up, period. That's why they go. $7.39 with Collins and Mack, or I should say Collins, Mack, and Robertson
there
for the day.
There you go.
Didn't mean to short sheet your cut there, man. Hey, there are some, and I just got to throw this out at you. I was a little concerned the other day with some of the stuff that, you know, I had read. And I just wanted to get your personal opinion on this. from an official standpoint, I want to be the first one to ask you, and I want you to be completely honest with me. I want you to be candid, but completely honest. Here we go. Recently, James Loomis had made some comments that I was a little bit disturbed about. You know, we were ranked Lubbock having being six out of number 10 with on the six out of top 10 list for having the hottest men. And James Loomis said, quote, "We're not lukewarm in Lubbock, we're sizzling." Now, yesterday I made a call to Christy Cook at Christie's, you know, Intimate Apparel and Erotic Dance Studio, and I was going to see if, you know, she would provide cloaking for the photo shoot for the little sizzlers of City Hall, and I was going to ask you, would you or would you not succumb to being Mr. January?
No.
Good answer.
Took us a long time to get there, but answer sure was short.
I was trying to cage you in there.
How'd that work for you?
Didn't work out. Anyway, so much for that. All right.
Have we talked about the Omni building yet?
No, 14th and Avenue K.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just...
That one got both of y'all.
Let's all cough in unison. Ready? One, two, three.
Look at this stuff coming out of the vent. Could that have anything to do with why we're both coughing?
Maybe. Maybe so. All right, 14th and Avenue K. Here's the deal. You know, a lot of people, they see the headline and go, okay, we're moving forward, like trying to buy the building. Are we really trying to buy the building for 1.2? What's the reasoning behind it?
Well, you know, there's been, here again, some talk outside of council at the media level that's put out bad information. What we're trying to do is get funds appropriated just in case we can reach negotiations with the owner. We're in litigation with them. We've got a lot of options. We can carry it through litigation and see what the judge says in November. We can try to come up with some sort of settlement with the owner. We've got a problem in that that building is an absolute eyesore. The owner will not comply with what we've asked him to do. We don't own the building. And so we can't get in the building to find out, is it structurally safe? Can you repurpose it? What would it cost to demolish it? I mean, we've got people in the media. We've got people in the private sector. I've got people on the dais saying, hey, we need to get it and tear it down.
Okay, now, I may not be the brightest light bulb on the tree, but I can connect the dots here. What you're saying is if we get to the position where we can actually negotiate to where we can make an offer, you can get in the building to assess the building to see what the building actually needs, what it's worth, and how faulty it is.
Well, and that's where we're at. I mean, the point I was trying to make is when you've got a council member say, we need to buy that building and tear it down, you can't make that decision when you don't know how much demolition cost is going to be. You can't have another council member at the same meeting say, well, we need to buy it. We need to put the police station in it. Well, you don't even know if it's structurally sound. You don't know how much it'd cost to repurpose the building. And if you did repurpose it, have you just spent more money than you could have if you had tore it down and built brand new? So all we did last night, we didn't agree to buy the building. We set aside funds in case we could get to some sort of settlement. Mm-hmm. My thought process, I'd love to see us enter into a contract with a long feasibility study to where we could get in the building and find all the facts. And once we get the facts, then I think as a council we can make a good decision.
Let's just say that the building is structurally not sound and the building would get condemned. Then what would they have to do?
Well, then you're back to the still in the lawsuit, trying to force the owner to tear the building down. If he refuses, then you still got to look at, does the city tear it down and how much does it cost you?
Right.
So if you decide to buy the building, what happens with the lawsuit? Is all that dropped?
Yes, that would be, if we did that, everything would be settled.
All right, we're with Mayor Glenn Robertson at 744. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. If you're on the phone, hang on, 770-5790. We're taking your calls and comments. Good morning, Collins and Mac, 747. Got Mayor Glenn Robertson in the house after a city council meeting last night. Let's go to the phones, question and comments. 770-5790. Micah, You're on.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Wouldn't you love to be the guy that presses the button that would blow up that building?
Now, you know,
we could auction that off, Mike, and pay for it.
Yeah. Let's do a raffle. People can put in 10, 20 bucks per chance to blow up the building. You could have it worldwide. You could use your IT guys to connect it to where they could press the button during a certain time.
Do it on July.
Think of the money that we could raise.
Do it on July 4th night as part of the fireworks display.
Yeah, we could set up. Oh, we could set up the Symphony Orchestra on Avenue K.
Unique deal. You'd make national news, world news. You know about that. Then you could sell. You know, take one of those pieces of marble and engrave their name on it and send it to them.
Heck of an idea.
We could get the world's hottest men to promote it.
I'm telling you,
right here in Lubbock,
right now, I'm on board for Micah for president. This guy can think outside the box.
No, that'd be taking a pay cut for me.
Right.
But anyway, that's how you need to do it, man. Do something unique. Get it on board. Get some viral interest in it going, man. You could really make some money off that deal.
You get some kook from, you know, the other side of the country. You got more money than sense paying big bucks for it.
Oh, yeah.
I like the way you think, Michael.
All right.
Hey, man, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to line two. Everett, you're on. Hello, Everett, you're on.
Everett's off.
Noah, stop. All right. So much for Everett in the Omni building. Let's go to another phone. RL is on the line. Got a question or comment about Lake Meredith. Bring it on.
Good morning, gang. Had a question for the mayor.
Yes, sir.
About the last month, I've been watching a lot of heavy storms coming across Amarillo and north of Amarillo over the Lake Meredith watershed.
Yes, sir.
None of our weather bureaus ever mention anything past Monroe. They just talk about Lubbock from Monroe South. I mean New Deal South. I'm giving away my age now talking about Monroe.
Yes, sir, you
but,
are.
But anyway, Mayor, do you ever get any information on are they catching any water in Lake Meredith? There's been some big
yes,
storms
sir.
Up there.
You know, I've been doing exactly like you have. I've been watching that daily. The last count I saw, I know it's up over 8 foot. Of course, it's from a mud hole up to 8 foot. It's still not to the point where we can utilize it as a water supply. I think the best news is that entire watershed up there is completely saturated. And if we can keep it saturated, you know, any rain that we get from here on, it rises much quicker. So it has caught a lot of water. It hadn't caught as much as I would have thought, because you're right. Those storms have been impressive up there.
Surely have.
We've seen about an 8 to 10 foot increase.
That's what I needed to hear. When you hear what Wichita Fall, everybody's packing sack lunches down there ready to leave in their car.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm watching that real close. And thank you. Enjoy your visiting on the program.
Thanks
now.
Hey,
bye.
Thanks for your call, RL. Right bye. Now it's 7:51. Back with the mayor in about 3 minutes. Tom and Laura, Lubbock's First News, 71 degrees. KFYO News Talk 790, 755, 72. Let's go back to the phones. Everett, you're on.
Yes, I have a question for the mayor.
Okay.
The building. Is there any provision in Texas law that would allow us, if this owner owns other properties in Texas and we're successful in the lawsuit, to attach liens to those other properties to compel him to settle the situation here in Lubbock? And if not, is there something y'all might address in the next legislature to see what we could do to help speed that process?
Good thinking.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Everett, that's a great question. I don't know the answer. I will ask the attorneys. I will say this. There's bank liens against the Omni building, and I'm going to assume if this property owner has other buildings across the state, there's probably bank liens against them also. So you've got first liens already in place.
Against this building, but if he has other properties with unattached liens, to change the liquidity of those assets might entice him to do something.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's something that I will ask the attorney staff when I get back to City Hall this afternoon. I don't know the answer, but like I say, it's great thought process.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
going to assume that, you know, we probably could, but I think what we'd have to do is be victorious in a lawsuit and get a lien against him, which could then be attached against any properties that he owns.
Now, I have a question.
It's not just one owner. There are three owners, right, well, of the Omni?
There's actually one individual owner, and then you've got, of course, the bank, and then there's some other people that got liens against it, okay. So we've had to notify
well,
them.
Us gotcha. Also being, if I, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't we have, like a few years ago, we have $275,000 in code enforcement fines plus 10% interest?
Well, we've got about 230-something thousand in liens against the building right now. That's been one of some people have said, well, we need to just continue piling liens on there until we get so much. The problem is that's a 3 or 4 or 5 year process. We're trying to speed this up now.
I get it. Yeah.
But Everett, I really like your suggestion and I think it's something we need to look into.
Hey, Everett, I got a question for you. An attorney or anything?
No, sir, I'm not. I've just dealt with different property transactions over the years and kind of been involved in some of that. Mm-hmm. I know laws vary from state to state regarding that kind of issue, and I just didn't know if there was one in Texas. I would think that there might be with all the different transactions that have occurred over the history of Texas. This might be something that's in the statutes, and if not, it might need to be addressed to some point in the next legislature to just allow communities who find themselves in this kind of situation to have some leverage.
Yes,
you'd
sir.
Kind of think our attorneys would have already thought of that.
Well, and they
might. Already checked it out.
It would be the real estate version of kind of like a lemon law. Maybe we could call that the goober law.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, very good question.
I don't know. But it's not like our attorneys don't have other matters before them. So
yes, right, sir. Right.
They can't put a lot of research into something like that. But, you never know.
Hey, Everett, here's the deal. Man, I'm going to put you on hold. I want you to give Grant your phone number because I got a couple of more questions for you. We're out of time right now.
Okay.
But I'm going to put you on hold and give me your number, and I'll call you after the show's over, okay?
That'd be fine.
All right. I appreciate that. Thanks, man. Mayor Glenn Robertson, on the way out the door, we just got about 30 seconds left, but against the 5.75 rate increase and 2.9% raises across the board, your comment?
Don't need either one. There's cuts we can make. Shout out to Matt. I know you're listening. Y'all got a break today.
All right, it's 7:59. Tom and Laura coming up after top of the hour. We are going to be talking with Dorothy Kennedy, find out if there were any votes in the mail yesterday. Of course, today's the day we're going to technically declare a winner in District 3 city council race between Deanne Clark and Jeff Griffith. We'll be back in just a few. See ya.